Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link below this interview. Now, Joel, I was out of commission yesterday, just not feeling well along with my daughter, and it's not that I missed a whole lot, but I did just want to recap a couple of the, I guess, key drivers for the markets broadly over the last about week. And look, we've talked about how these markets have been very headline driven, but I think there's no denying the recent moves have been around this war fear between Russia and Ukraine. We saw stuff like gold really start to bounce or spike higher. We saw U.S. markets continue to show some weakness. However, they were showing weakness even before Russia built up troops on the border. Now, maybe a bit of a dissipation from some of the war fears, but what's your takeaway from a headline-driven market when all of a sudden you get some war fears thrown into the mix?
Thanks for having me today, Chad and Corey. I mean, your last part there, it's a headline-driven market, and you have to be prepared, you know, for the headlines in either direction. Naturally, a lot of these moves are taking place overnight. With the actual equities being closed, it's being reflected in the futures. So you just have to, you know, if you're investing in the market, you just have to be, you know, for the long term, you just gotta kind of put the blinkers on and, you know, say, okay, war, no war, you know, where do I want my money? As far as, you know, reacting to the short-term trading, talking to traders or investors, just don't chase the moons. You know, like, yeah, maybe today, you know, we opened up, we're hanging up, we could just blast off, go right to 4,500, 4,550. But if there's anything you've seen in this market, it's just such a fading market. There could be a negative headline tomorrow, and we could be, oh, no, they turned around and went back to the border. So there's always something. So I just, from an overall market perspective, you know, use these extreme opportunities to either lighten up on some stuff that maybe you were stuck on or on the big down days, you know, have your shopping list out. So very hard to make, you know, heads or tails out of all the headlines that are coming out. And the other one was, you know, emergency Fed meeting. Rates are going up a point. I mean, by July. I mean, do you have, you know, just because Bullard opened up his mouth on Thursday, hit the market acted in on Friday. On Monday, he was on CNBC. No move by the Fed. So, you know, don't chase the tape. Stick with your core positions and use pockets of strength to lighten up and pockets of weakness to, you know, accumulate positions. But just you following the headlines and you're just going to be out on the street with everybody else.
Well, and that's a thing, right? These headlines, boy, oh boy, they just keep on pushing markets, the different sectors in certain directions for a very short term. But trying to take a more level-headed look at everything, is there an area or any couple trends that you see as not ignoring this news, but being a bit more in place, something that we can really look to and say, look, outside of all these different headlines, these are some of the trends within these markets right now?
I mean, the trends are, you know, that your value tech, you know, is held up. Your Apple, people are still buying iPhones and buying iTunes and what else. I mean, so, you know, Amazon, you know, everyone left it out for dead after it's, you know, it had a big sell-off, and then everyone was wrong in on the report. So, you know, just sticking to, you know, fairly valued stocks. You know, we are an inflationary environment. Your values. Buy stocks where the companies make money and when they have, you know, reasonable growth targets, right? That's what you want to own. Everyone was looking for the January play. You know, growth was going to rebound from the tax selling. That hasn't happened. So, you know, to me, I've always, you know, missed out on a lot of stuff. It's a value driven market. And, you know, the other thing too on these, like you hear takeouts and potential takeouts. Look at the valuations and where these stocks are trading. to see what kind of sometimes, you know, the pop on the rumor is actually more than what the proposed value is. So stick with stocks and real things. Stick with real things, real companies to make real money.
Well, Joel, I know that aside from the headlines and aside from looking at things from a fundamental basis and earnings reports and potential takeovers, you also incorporate technical analysis into your trading. So just for people that, you know, are still gun shy on that, how do you utilize technical analysis in combination with the backdrop of the trends that are in place?
For my long-term portfolio? Hardly any. For my
Your short-term trading, like if you're looking at market moves.
Yeah. You know, I am probably the most boring, you know, old school guy that you'll find. I just like to, you know, I've always, you know, I do my weekend analysis, and that gives me weekly levels to watch, right? And so I'll use that to base my daily decisions. Look at Marcus tanking just as we're talking. And then I just like daily highs and lows, you know, double tops, double bottoms, triple bottoms. And that, what that does is that gives you the sense of what the big boys are doing, okay? Because the big boys, they don't, if they want to own Johnson & Johnson, this is just an example. It takes not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, not 4 days. Who knows how long it takes them to accumulate a position. And they'll pick target areas and they'll be very patient. Now, if the stock moves away from them, they'll have to make an adjustment. It's the same way, same thing on the upside. It takes a while. So if you're looking at the daily and highs and lows, double tops, double bottoms, and you get the sign of institutional accumulation. You know, along that, you know, multiple closes in the same area, that means people are scratching their head. You know, they don't need to be don't mean to be aggressive buyers or aggressive sellers. And then finally, if you're following the support and resistance levels, then a lot of time, one of the most simple rules of technical analysis, old support. When support is broken, old people bought at a level, it becomes new resistance, right? And the best, and we were just talking, and I think the reason you asked me this question is we were talking about this before we came on. Classic example is Bitcoin. December, January, all those lows, 45.5, 45.6, 45.7. It's holding. It busts through, right? So you can use it, break it through support. You can use that as a reason to short a stock, right? Or an instrument. And then, you know, who knows, you know, shorting it, it's very hard to short Bitcoin. But look, you know, you make your bottom under 35K, look where it's coming back to. And I'm just looking at the futures charts. I'm not looking at the 24-hour chart. So, all those people that in all of December and part of January bought at 45.5, it was maybe part of their average position. They're saying, man, I want to get out there. I want to break even. So by following the daily numbers, which leads you to double tops, double bottoms, triple tops, and triple bottoms, areas of consolidation, support, resistance, gives you, to me, you know, I'm not going to big, I'll look at volume on some occasions, but if you look at my charts, I mean, they don't have a bunch of stuff on them. And I'll give you a good example. When I ran the Detroit office of Bright Trading, you know, we had some guys coming in doing different kind of things. And we had a head of our company come in, besides Bob Bright, it was a guy named Eddie Franco. And, you know, he likes to look at the traders and go to their work, their layout, and see what they're doing, right? Just how they're looking at the markets, being a tape reader. And he looked at this guy's chart, and I don't know what it was. I think it was Amazon. And he said, where's the price? There were so many different things on the chart, so many distractions, so many moving averages, so many trend lines. He didn't know where the hell the price is. So, you know, keeping for the short-term trading, I'm still a believer in keeping your technical analysis KISS. Keep it simple, stupid method.
So, Joel, you even mentioned that you follow the big name investors or big money investors to see the direction, the trends that they are playing. And look, there's no doubt when we are in a headline-driven market, and quite frankly, everyone likes to grasp onto extremes. So it's either these markets are collapsing or they're going to the moon. I want to know what your assessment is of how much fear there is in some of the big traders' minds. Because quite frankly, the S&P, it's down 8% this year. But we have seen this pretty defined move into value. And it's not like these markets are crashing. It's not like everyone's leaving the markets, but they are being a bit more cautious. What's your assessment of general fear in some of the big traders' minds right now?
Fear? As opposed to, I don't think there's any fear in any good traders' minds, right? They don't fear the markets. But the environment that I feel that the market is in right now is I fear owning these high PE stocks still, these growth stocks, and I'd even throw Bitcoin in there. I think they're being very cautious on these assets, so I still don't want to own them. And the value's holding up until the value holds up, right? The market will hold up. Now, you're not going to get that big flush in the market until they start to abandon these stocks. And right now, yeah, Facebook is broken down, but you can hardly say, that Apple is turned or that Google's turned or that Amazon's turned. I mean, you can't say that these stocks are in, have turned, or what you use as a definition of a bear market. But to me, what it feels like is that there's more on the pops, there's more institutional selling on strength than there is an appetite to buy on weakness. So I don't know if that's like a total cop-out, but it feels to me is that you have a market where interest rates are going up. That potentially is a bad thing. It's competition for the equities. So I see, lightening up on these kind of rallies and not as much as a propensity to just go out there and buy the dip.
Well, Joel, just to that point, I don't think we've talked to you about this before, but there's been a few reports we've referenced with other folks about record insider selling, especially into strength. So that would kind of pair up with the point you just made about some of the institutions and funds being more apt to sell into strength than they are to buy into weakness lately. Does that factor in at all to your trading when you see a lot of company CEOs, CFOs, CIOs starting to sell their stock at kind of nosebleed levels? Is that an indicator that you think, hey, maybe they're smart money selling to the dumb money?
That's an excellent question, Chad. But what you have to keep in mind is that insider buys are a lot different than insider sells, right? An insider buy is someone at the company having confidence in the company and putting, moving their assets to that to prosper from, an increase in price, correct? Insider sells could be for a variety of different reasons. They could be for tax planning. They could be, and a lot of these sales, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg sold stock the whole way up, from 100 up to, 300. And the reason he did that is because he had planned sales. So, yes, I pay attention to insider sales. There can be something that are noteworthy. And what you're saying is, like, they're selling, and they're selling, and the getting's good, and it's something to take note. But there's different reasons why people sell as opposed to when they buy because they think it's going up. And I know what you're talking about. There has been some hefty insider sales. I mean, I'll just give you a good example of, AMC, right? The Ape stock, We're never selling. We're a holder, this, that, and the other thing. Well, what did the CEO do? What did the owner of the company do? I think it was like around $30. He dumped that thing. Oh, I need to plan for my retirement. Yeah, right. Thing went to $15. So depends on the stock. It depends on the market environment. It's something that should be noted. But I think in the long run, if you're, if it's make it a tool in your toolbox, but don't try and hit home runs with it.
All right, Joel, I think that is some of the most level-headed commentary we've gotten on the markets in a while because, quite frankly, look, it's fun to talk about the extremes, but especially in this type of market where there are a lot of things to kind of grasp onto and say, oh, no, we're in trouble here, and oh, no, we're in trouble here. But fact of the matter is the Fed still doesn't seem to be panicking, and they do still carry a very heavy hand in these markets. So, Let's see where that all leads us. But right now, yeah, maybe a little bit of calm needs to happen for these markets. And again, it seems like we are also waiting to see if Russia does anything more at Ukraine, in Ukraine, but that's also impossible to predict as well. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. It's always great chatting with you. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you, guys.